In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm preaching down here because today is Confirmation Sunday. We have our confirmand sitting right here. I'm not going to ask you guys to do anything nutty. They were looking at me like, what's he going to do? We have some stuff we got to do later for the rite of confirmation. But I think I say this a lot. I want to say I love teaching confirmation. Bill Boykin joins me in teaching confirmation. It's always a blast. I think you guys like it well enough, right? Yeah, don't hurt your pastor's feelings here. They love confirmation. You get baptized as a little baby, usually, and then you've been learning and growing. You've been in Bible class. You've been in Sunday school. You come to VBS. And for the last 2 years, you've been in confirmation where you learn and study the catechism, the study of the Holy Scriptures. And that's what I want us to think about. Today is Confirmation Sunday. At the same time, it's also Trinity Sunday. They don't always fall together, but this year I want to stick those things together, and they fit nicely as it is. But I want to say, first off, something that confirmation is not. And sometimes I think you've heard me say it before. I think you guys have heard me say it in class many times during the year. They're nodding their head. Yes, we've heard this. But I need everybody else to hear it. Are you guys ready? I need everybody to memorize this. Confirmation is not graduation. Everybody got that? Confirmation is not graduation. I want us to point that out because we do confirmation at this time of year, but this is the time of year of graduations. So when you graduate from high school, what's left for you in high school? You're done, right? Isn't that a nice thing? Everybody remember that? Some of you, that was a long time ago, I know. But that's nice. When you're done with high school, you're what? You're done with high school. Now, these days, you graduate from preschool, and you graduate from middle school, and you graduate from high school, so you graduate many times. But when you graduate from preschool, you never have to go to preschool again. When you graduate from confirmation, are you done going to church for the rest of your life? They're correctly nodding this way. That warms my heart to hear you say it. Somehow, we sort of think that there's certain things you do. It's like it's in a box, and then you finish it off, and then you put the lid in the box, and you're set, right? Confirmation is not graduation. Confirmation does not mean you're done with the church. It does not mean you're done. I want us to hear this. Learning and growing. I'm talking to you guys. Adults, guess what? I'm talking to you guys. When you've been confirmed, if you're an adult, you've been confirmed how many years ago? Right? Some of you a while ago. Some of you in the Eisenhower administration. And I'm getting looks. You guys can't see that, but you guys know who Dwight Eisenhower is. Yet one no, one yes. Okay. Adults, please be a lifelong learner. A lifelong learner. Our job, all of us, no matter our age, is to learn and grow. To study the Lord's word, to learn more about the faith, and to apply it to our lives. Right? Learn and grow. Guys, guess what? Learn and grow. Okay. Now, confirmation is not graduation. Well, what is it, Pastor Walt? Right? What is confirmation? Oh, I got an answer. Oh, it's learning. Yeah, it is. I got something I wanted to say in particular. Oh, no, he's going to use the exact word. Are you looking at my sermon? That, no, because you've heard me say it in class, right? One of our confirmands says, confirmation is a milestone, right? A milestone is a stone that's along the way. You don't stop at the milestone, you keep going. If I'm going to drive from here to Charleston, I don't stop halfway and say, this seems pretty good. If I'm going to Charleston, I want to go to Charleston. No, this is a milestone. It's a point along the way, and when you see it, you keep going. Now, here's the real question. Is that a biblical concept? It is. I would hope it is. I'm preaching a sermon right now, right? So here's what I want to say. The Bible is full of places where God says, I want you to put up a marker, right? I want you to put up a marker about this. Sometimes it's called a stone of remembrance. Here's one of my favorite ones. In Joshua chapter 4, Joshua is leading the nation, right? Now, you guys remember, before Joshua was Moses. Israel was enslaved in Egypt. God delivered them, 10 plagues and all that, right? God delivered them from Egypt. They're going through the desert. They get to the edge of the Red Sea. The Red Sea is in front of them. The Egyptian army is behind them, and they think, we are done. What does God do? Parts the waters. Miraculous, right? So they wander through the desert for 40 years. Moses dies. Joshua's the next leader. They're getting ready to enter the Promised Land. They are east of the Promised Land. They're going to go west into the Promised Land, but what's in front of them? Jordan River. And what does God do with the Jordan River? He parts it, right? He parts it literally to make them think, oh, this is what God did with Moses. God is vindicating the leadership of Joshua, but this is the part I like. God tells them, as you go through the now dried up riverbed, I want you to appoint 12 men to pick up stones from the middle of the river. Isn't that a wonderful concept? Take stones from the middle of the river and walk with them to the other side, and I want you to make a pile out of those stones. That's a milestone. Does that make sense? They were literally supposed to look at those stones and say, do you remember what God did? You see the point? What God did. Joshua 4 and 5 actually say that your children will see this and ask, why are those stones there? And you will say, this is where God had us cross the Jordan River. That's what confirmation is. I want you to remember to think of this. Wherever life leads you, and it will lead you all over the place, right? Think of this. June 4th, 2023, you were confirmed at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Irmo, South Carolina, right? Where's the rest of your life going to take you? I have no idea. God knows. That's a wonderful mystery, right? It could be to be in South Carolina. It could be to be in Colorado. It could be to travel the world, right? To do whatever. But at all times, it will always be true that on June 4th, 2023, you were confirmed at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Irmo, South Carolina. Does that make sense? Today, you'll be given a hymnal, and on the front of that hymnal, this is mine, but yours will have your name and today's date, not for you to be done growing, but for you to remember and to look back and say, there's a milestone. God was with me. I've been studying and learning the catechism and scripture with Pastor and with Bill, and here I am confirmed at this milestone. Does that make sense? Okay, now, it is a milestone. I want us to get this. It is a milestone that flows from your baptisms. Right, confirmation does not save you, does it? Confirmation is frankly not mentioned in the Bible. It's a custom of the church. It's a good custom, but it's not in the Bible. But baptism is, God says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Jesus said, Matthew 28, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now do you see how they start to come together? Confirmation, you were baptized, you've been learning and studying, and now you're here. You were baptized in what name? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Right, now I want us to hear this. God is one, right? There is one God. I just have to say it that way because we live in a world that thinks there are many gods. In fact, we live in a world that says there are many gods out there, but they're all the same, and you can worship any god you want. That is not the way the Bible talks about it. The Bible says there's one true God, and there are, in fact, other gods, but those are called false gods. Those are gods that people have invented. There's one God who made all things, who redeemed his people, and who now sanctifies his people, right? That God is disclosed in Scripture as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We confess one God, three persons. It's a lot to grasp and understand. I get it. And so here's what people say. Some people are going to say, but the concept of the Trinity is abstract. How do you know that that's true? And we're going to work our way there. I want to get there. Let's think on this. The Bible says things about God, like there's one God, and that God is also Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can I prove that? No, I can't. But I can do this. I can examine the other parts of the Bible. Does that make sense? There's other things in the Bible. Let me throw one out there. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the Neo-Babylonian Empire. Was that true? It was. The Bible says that Israel was enslaved by the Egyptians. Is that true? Right. The Bible says that King David reigned in Jerusalem. Is that true? Right? The Bible says that Jesus died on a cross, and on the third day, and for the next couple of weeks, 500 different witnesses saw him. You see what I'm doing? I'm looking at, there are parts of the Bible that we can test. Does that make sense? There's parts that you can test. And you can say, well, the Bible lists not just Nebuchadnezzar, but it lists the next king and the next king. The Bible says, here's the kings of the Babylonian Empire. Here's the kings of the Assyrian Empire. And you know what we do? We can test it, and guess how the Bible comes out? Looking really good, right? And I know there's a lot of critics of the Bible these days. They love to say the Bible is full of errors. Read about this the rest of your life. Archaeologists dig in the dirt, and the more they dig, the better the Bible looks. So here's where the move we're going to make. If the Bible is right about the stuff that I can test, and then the Bible says, I need you by faith to trust that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm going to do? You see? Is right about the stuff I can test, that means when Jesus says, I and the Father are one, I buy that. God, one God, the true God, the God who made all things, the God who redeems his people, and the God who sanctifies his people, that God took his name at a font, maybe not this one, maybe it was this one, but that God takes his name and puts it on you. By the way, these guys, but on you, right? Now, here's the wonderful thing about it. God at the font does not say, I will save you if you're good enough. Right? God does not say, I will save you if you are good looking. And I just want to say, thanks God about that. Right? I was good looking, but that goes away. He doesn't say, if you're rich enough, I'll save you. What does he say? He says, come here in all of the lack of stuff that you got, and I'll save you, right? The God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit says, I want to put my name on you, and you're now my daughter. You're now my son, right? You're my son. And he wants to keep you and sustain you, and you've been learning and growing, and now it's confirmation time. See how they come, right? There's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You've been baptized into his name. You've been saved by his grace and his mercy and his rich love. And now you've come to learn and be at this point of publicly saying, yes, I affirm these things, and we welcome you as communicant members of the church, right? Now, let me ask you this. Does the Old Testament ever say that God is triune? It implies it. Look at your Old Testament lesson this morning. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God made all things, right? God made everything that exists. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. What does the next sentence say? And the Spirit of God. God made all things, and the Spirit of God was hovering. Next verse. And God said. When you speak, what do you speak? Words. And hear this from John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's subtle, but I think that's the Trinity implied in the Old Testament. God the Father who makes, the Spirit who hovered, and the Word of God. And then God says in verse 26, he says, I'm going to make humanity. But how does he say it? Let us make man in our image. The Old Testament implies there's one God, but implies there's something plural about him. In Isaiah chapter 6, the angels are singing praises to this God. What do they say? Holy, holy, holy. And the Christian church service still ends with the benediction that God gave to Aaron. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord look upon you with favor. God is triune. It was implied in the Old Testament. In the New, Jesus comes along and says, go and make disciples of all nations, right? I want to hear this, by the way. It did not say, make disciples of people who look like you. Make disciples of all nations. He did not say, make disciples of everybody in Israel. Make disciples of all nations. And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? You guys have been baptized. Now, about to be confirmed. That's awesome. Now, let me ask you this. Once you're confirmed, does that mean that you will now live a sinless life? Adults? No, they seem fairly convinced the answer is no. So once you've been confirmed, you will stumble and fall. Is that right? And when you stumble and fall, do you know what you're going to do? Just return, right? That's what God always says. Don't invent something new. Just return to the basic things. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're going to stumble into sin and you're going to remind myself, my God is creator, redeemer, sanctifier, and has made me his own. In Christ, I'm forgiven. You are forgiven. You're loved by God. And going from this place, right? It's great to be in church and it's easy here when you go from this place and we stumble and fall, then return back to the salvation that is yours in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us then stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.